You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. Welcome back. We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. I am back. Happy New Year. UTEP with their sixth straight win tonight, 81-72 over Sam Houston State. Let's talk about it. 915-505-6009. We're presented by Jack in the Box with 15 locations, open 365 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the best spot before and after every game, alongside a full house. And yeah, I think that's you're going to see a full house for a while now. UTEP basketball is starting to really heat up. Zay Galindo, Sal Montes, Alberto Reta, George Wajardo, who's recently graduated. Congratulations to you, George. Congratulations to you, Zay. First in the heat today, senior season in track and field, seventh overall. Big shout out to you. Sal Montes, thank you so much for holding the fort down last week. And Alberto, thank you for holding the fort down this past week while I was out. We are back here tonight. It's turning the page, and Sal Montes, we're starting it off with six in a row and all the hype going into the battle of I-10. UTEP dominated tonight again, and it was a pretty handle. They handled Sam Houston for the better half of this game.
Yeah, we talked about right before the stretch had come up, but how big this three-game stretch was going to be to open up Conference USA. I mean, you pretty much go into this one riding the momentum of the Sun Bowl Invitational, the Westar Bank Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. There we go. Got to get it right. But I mean, hey, two out of three, and that's something that I can't remember if I had predicted that or not. I wouldn't be surprised if I did. But I don't think I had them going all three. But there's a chance, man, a real chance that they could get this one. But they had to get through La Tech, and they did so impressively. They had to get by Sam Houston, and for the most part, hey, let's just say this about the game: there was a lot more than there was bad, a lot more good than there was bad. So I know there was bad, but either way, they come away with the win. They're up by double digits in the second half and the first half, and they come away with this one. Now they get a New Mexico State team, Adrian, who's just as hot, you know, these last couple of games, what, five games in a row that they've won, and they also got New Mexico, if we want to count six out of their last seven. It's going to be a dogfight, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about it as well. Miners have won six straight going into that game, Battle of I-10. You look at, you know, what UTEP has done right now. They've won nine of their last 10, so you talk about NMSU strengths. Well, Miners are coming in with a lot of hype, excitement on their side. The Miners were recently named in the top 25 of the College Insider Inc. mid-major top 25. They were also picked. This is actually a poll that's voted on by 31 Division I head coaches, so that's really cool. I appreciate it, Sal. Thank you very much. As we continue here on the program, our telephone number 915-505-6009 to get things started here on the program. If you want to weigh in, we've got one phone line available right now. We got a couple calls to get to here. Minetto is first, and Tom will join us here as well. But before we get to both those callers, over to you, Zay. Today was Devin Barnes, and you heard from both Barnes and David Terrell Jr. today. They were excited after the win tonight here from the Miners. And that's the benefit and the luxury of this UTEP basketball team, having the depth. I asked that to head coach Joe Golding. Just what's it like having this kind of depth and balance? And it's, you know, one night it could be Otis Frazier. Tonight it was Devin Barnes.
Yeah, you know, Devin Barnes, he's a very, very consistent scorer, right? He'll put his 10 points a game these past couple of, I mean, this whole season, really. Feels like he's always around that mark. But he's a guy who, if he gets hot, I mean, he's probably the best player on the court no matter what. And we saw that today. I mean, let's see, what did he finish with? Devin Barnes,
17 points,
4-7 from 3, 6-10 from the field, 3 assists, 2 steals, and he had 4 rebounds. I mean, this guy is 5'9". Like, it'll say he's like 6'1" on the UTEP website. No, he is 5'9", and he has, you know, some of the best rebounding skills I've seen of a guard ever.
Yes.
So, I mean, he is a really, you know, seasoned veteran, and I feel like when UTEP goes on a dry spell, he's one of the guys that they're going to turn to. You know, he's that spark plug that Ahmad Bynum is as well, and you talked about it. That is such a luxury to have, just to have that scoring depth. I know we've gassed up, you know, these past couple of years. It always feels like UTEP has depth, and it kind of just it never really turns out the way we expected. This year, it's turned out the way we expected and more when it comes to scoring depth.
It's really materialized in a nice way. And they've actually, if you notice, they've actually shortened their bench rotation just a little bit. Like, KJ Thomas isn't going to get a ton of minutes here moving forward unless they're playing a certain team. Trey Horton III, as of right now, it's going to be week to week in practice, and how he fights to try to earn minutes. But this is their rotation right here. Bynum coming off the bench, Hamilton coming off the bench, and a little bit of Elijah Jones, and that's your eight right there. And I like the eight-man rotation UTEP has if they push it 210 with Thomas and the likes of Trey Horton III. That's a luxury as well. Like, they have legitimately 10 guys who can score and who can win games with you on the floor any given night. By the way, fourth straight games with multiple three-pointers for Devin Barnes right now. He's 13 of 24 from beyond the arc, including, like you mentioned tonight, 4 of 7 from beyond the arc for Devin Barnes. So he's starting to hit the three-point shot really nicely. He has been a mainstay and has been a consistent scorer for this squad, and so they got a really nice game from him. Switching it over to you, Alberto, crowd was solid tonight, 5,000 plus in attendance, just under 6,000. They got loud tonight. That step back three-pointer from Ahmad Bynum, I thought the roof was going to come down.
Ahmad Bynum, 9 points all from the three, so that gets people extremely loud. And yeah, you said it was 6,000. It feels like a lot more when people really, really get into the game. So yeah, I think that the turnout's not great, but the environment that the people create, that's awesome. I know that me and George were watching the game, and he didn't like how much country music they played. I'm like, hey man, I think it's just to get the people to sing. I enjoyed it. We were on our feet when things get hyped, so I think it's the environment that people create.
All right, George, it was country night tonight. Maybe it's a hip-hop night next week. Yeah. Maybe that'll get you more excited, or what do we need?
Yeah, I was wondering. I was like, I don't ever remember that being that. I was going to have a talk with Jason Craig. I was like, hey, what's going on? But I guess I missed the memo about country night, so I guess I get it. But no, yeah, Alberto's right. The crowd, it just under 6,000, right? But it felt like a lot more, especially when they had that run right there close to the end of the first half where they built up a big lead. The roof came off. David Terrell just had a dunk off of a turnover. They created a really – it sounded like way more than under 6,000. So I think that's great. Overall, the team just did what it does, right? It forces turnovers. It cleans up opportunities, in transition. And they were able to hold off Sam Houston after I thought they took a little bit of a nap there with 4 minutes to go in the game.
But. Yeah, and the way they started this game, the way they closed this game isn't the thing that Joe Golding's excited about at all. Fast break points, to your point, 16 points for the Miners, and that was a big positive for them tonight. They had a lot of positives in this game, and we'll talk all about it here on the program. 915-505-6009 to get into Miner Talk. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Tag us at 600 ESPN El Paso. It's the best way for us to find and read your post here on Twitter and X. Let's go out to the phone lines right now. Let's burn through some phone calls, then we'll read a couple tweets. I've got a bunch of things to talk about here tonight, so it'll be a good one here tonight on Miner Talk. Let's start it off with Tom, who's joining us first here on the show. Tom, good evening. Thanks so much for joining us. What's going on?
Hey, thanks. Hey, here we go. Listen up. That's my champagne bottle going off. I just opened the bottle of Domaine St. Michel Brut, and congratulations to the Miners. Man, oh man, what a game. Barnes, man, our hometown guy. We got to love that. You got to love it. Just four quick points. Keep sharing the stage. We don't know who's going to step up, and I'm sure it's keeping the opponents guessing when they're trying to figure out how to play us. Who is going to be the spark? Barnes tonight, incredible. Hamilton, how about Hamilton? Man, we got to keep feeding the big guys. Keep feeding them the ball. They love it. I know Frazier really is good at drawing the defenders to him and then giving it off to the bigs. And we need more of that. That's wonderful. And then bring on those enchanted beep, beep. And then that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it to somebody else.
All right. I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so much for weighing in on the program. Let's do this. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Minor Talk continues. We just freed up a phone line, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number, along with Sal, Zay, George, and Alberto. I'm Adrian. We got a full house tonight. UTEP defeats Sam Houston, 81-72. Lot to get to here on the program, 915-505-6009. This man called in earlier today. We'll get to him right now. It's Mineto, who is joining us for the first time in 2025. Welcome aboard, Mineto. What's going on?
Well, first and foremost, Happy New Year to everybody at Minor Talk. Second of all, I want to just mention to everybody, as I said it before the season, this team is for real. You know, one of the things that they were missing is finishing the game strong. It looks like they've gotten themselves, you know, into that groove. And we're going to see more things are going to happen during the year. I just feel that the next two games against NMSU that they play are going to dictate what's going to happen and what direction UTEP will go. And I mean by that, a Conference USA championship.
You know, and that's the expectation. That's the standard, Mineto. The interesting part about this is it's a one-bid league still in Conference USA. The good part is the Miners are winning at home. They're 9-0 right now at the Don Haskins Center. The downside to all this is when they go on the road, mathematics, or I guess just the numbers will tell you, period, that you know, teams are struggling across Conference USA to win on the road. Home teams right now, as it stands through just the first week of play, are 7-9 as it stands right now. So winning at home is a must, but winning on the road is going to be the challenge right here in Mineto.
Agree. That's actually, I didn't know that, so that makes a lot of sense. You know, hopefully we can win at least 60-70% of our road games and defend the Don and stay undefeated at home.
Okay, good stuff, man. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Happy New Year's to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon, man. I appreciate you weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009, that's our telephone number, 600-ESPN-El-Paso on Twitter next, and 600-ESPN-El-Paso.com. We also talked about Devin Barnes, who had 17 points, but Corey Camper Jr. with 16 tonight for the Miners. That was impressive as well. He also totaled 4 rebounds. David Terrell Jr. with 11 points, 6 assists. And in this game, no turnovers for the point guard, Zay. I mean, what a night for David Terrell Jr.
Yeah, what a night. And, you know, Joe Golding has talked about it. David Terrell has talked about it. You know, he's been through the ups and downs as a point guard. He's still learning that position. And we're seeing the ups right now. And it's reaping the benefits of putting a guy like David Terrell as the main ball handler of this offense. He's finding, you know, open guys in the corner, finding cutters. He's just controlling the offense really, really well. And it's fun to see. I mean, he is a very, very fun player to watch. He had that emphatic dunk that, you know, almost... Wow, it sounded like you talked about the Ahmad Bynum three, sounding like the roof was about to fall off. I mean, just David Terrell himself screaming after that dunk sounded like the roof was about to fall off. So, all around, an exciting player to watch, and it's nice to see him succeed.
You say he could be a cornerback, but he's almost like a running back, too. He fights through contact. He likes contact. He will go after and chase every play, you know, defensively. So, I feel like as much as he is a cornerback because of his defensive abilities, he's almost like a running back on offense, the way he's able to slash through defenses.
Yeah, just put him at quarterback. Just put him at. I think you know, after this one turnover, 11 assists, you know, past couple of games for him, he you know, Scotty Walden, you got to recruit him now. Like, do it.
Right, exactly. Sal, we're getting some good David Terrell Jr. games here.
Yeah, and it's I mean, as far as scoring wise, I know that people have been expecting more all year in that sense. But I mean, offensively, this guy's taking care of the ball, or taking better care of the ball. I know there were some stretches where he had some bad turnovers, but I mean, doesn't matter. If you do it in Conference USA against two teams who are, you know, before the season starts, at least expected to be, or, you know, recently showing that they've been a power. I mean, that's huge, man. It's just, hey, congratulations on your two good games in Conference USA. Got to do it again next Saturday. The lights are even brighter.
Yeah, and it shows you also that he's growing up in front of us. So that's another thing. Brian, we lost you right now. Give us a call back if you get on with us, but we'll keep it moving. It's Orly who's next up on the program, 915-505-6009. As we continue here on Minor Talk, we'll get to Brian right after Orly. Orly, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. What'd you think of tonight's game?
It was good. It was good, first of all, between the Lions and the Rams. You know, it's a messed up season.
And the 49ers being where they are, correct. Yeah. I mean, the Lions possibly winning 15 games on the season. I can't believe that. The Rams, it was over. The season was over in like late September, early for the Rams. And then somehow they're the 3rd seed. So, yeah, the NFL has been crazy lately, man.
Yeah. Anyway, first of all, UTEP's got to do something about the ticket sales. I got there at the game. I've got my season tickets, but I get there and there's a line trying to buy tickets, and they had one window open. This is right. Is the entrance, as you were asking, was it the east side?
Right there, parallel to Mesa.
Why don't they open up the ticket center like they used to?
You know, it's a good question. I don't really know the answer to that one. You're not the only one who said something to us. We had photos sent to us on Twitter and X. We had people, you know, all over social media get upset about this, saying that there was a long line with like a couple minutes left into the first half. So, you know, you're talking about fans still coming into the stands at halftime. I mean, that's tough right there, Orly.
And they better get better, because this competition in 2 years is going to be a lot better. First of all, and this is to George. George, country western is America's music. Always has been, always will be. And I wish we would play more country music at these games. I wish they'd go back to some Texas-based songs, like the Yellow Rose of Texas. I mean, there's some great music in Texas. We are in West Texas. I love the fact. Tell the DJ more country western. The people around me were enjoying it.
You know what? I like it, Orly. I like the fact that you can be excited about the music that was being played tonight. Typically, you know, they'll go different genres for these kind of, you know, theme nights or whatever. So, Orly, to that point, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for your thoughts on it. Your guys' thoughts on the tickets. Did anybody see the ticket situation? George, you did.
Yeah, I did. And so I do know what's going on with the ticket office. They're off on break still. They're not open.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's student run. What are we talking about?
Yeah. So they're off on break still right now. I think they open up next week officially.
Well, I hope they do.
Yeah, the ticket center is going to be back on. So the ticket thing, I think, will hopefully be a little bit better. That line was for Will Call. I don't know if they were selling tickets out of that, but yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, 10 minutes before the game, the line was still super long. But I'm gonna get on UTEP a little bit too. Just the handling of the ticket center, not just that, but the prices. We hit on that again. Alberto and I got down to the bottom of it, and yeah, the ticket prices, I think, right now are being handled by UTEP, because the season ticket holders aren't as prevalent as we thought. So these aren't resales. This is UTEP selling $50 near nosebleed tickets right now, and so shame on them.
You know, the ticketing right now has, I mean, they've got to do something promo-wise this week going into the Battle of I-10 week to fill the Don Haskins Center. In my opinion, you know, you think what it is. It is what it is as far as the pricing goes. I get it, and I'm not necessarily a fan of it whatsoever, but at the same point, George, you and I could argue till we were blue in the face about you know, entertainment dollars, but fans or people out there here in El Paso, they'll spend their entertainment dollars elsewhere. They're going to go out and, you know, maybe go to the racetrack on the weekend, maybe go out to a restaurant over the weekend. They're going to spend that kind of money of what it takes to take a family of four out to a basketball game. They'll take that kind of money elsewhere to an entertainment facility. So we get a lot of the complaints here on the show. I get it. And to the point of outpricing or overpricing some of these tickets, I get all of that. At the same point, plan ahead. If you plan these games ahead on your side of things, you're not going to run into those issues of will call tickets, having to stand in line for tickets and stuff like that. So we shouldn't get a lot of those complaints going into the Battle of I-10. People should plan right now. It should be kind of a wake-up call right here. It's Saturday, the 4th here in January. Buy your tickets now so you don't have to deal with the headache, Sal, that could come with the UTEPs. Don't even worry about the headache. Plan right now that you're going to the Battle of I-10 and get the tickets ahead of time.
There's a week, you know, from now up until that game. And I understand it, right? Some people have some things to do, and you might get there a little bit later to the line. But if you have the chance, definitely do it. Otherwise, you're going to be in line complaining about it. And it's kind of like, hey, we want fans to go to the games. But also, if you're a fan and you have that chance, do your part in getting there on time. And I mean, you know, get in your seat, man. It's gonna get a lot more packed as the time goes on if this team plays like this. It's not gonna get any easier schedule wise, but it's not gonna get any easier for your fan to rush to your seat at the same time. So it's a good problem, though.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. To your point, the home games later this month: Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State. Okay, those are solid ones right there. But then it starts to get really good. FIU Liberty. Those are home games coming February 13th and 15th. And then we're talking Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee, February 27th and March 1st. So you got to plan ahead now. I mean, this is the time now to get excited and plan ahead to start watching some of these games instead of complaining late, you know, when you're kind of late to the party after the fact. And I can also say that I want UTEP to make a promotion going into the Battle of I-10, get people excited, and try to sell out this big game because both teams deserve it. 2-0 squads, a top Conference USA standings, both coming in on a win streak. Both teams deserve it. So let's keep it moving right now. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. UTEP defeats Sam Houston tonight, 81-72. Let's keep going. Brian is next with us. After Brian, we've got Ruben who's going to join us as well. Let's keep it going. 915-505-6009. Also want to mention, we'll get to our hot hand of the game brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Big shout out to them here coming up on the program. Rene Tita is in the squad. We might have the Winers join us here later on. That's a big UTEP support group, and they might be voting for our hot hand of the game in one of our games here soon enough, and that's brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Going over to the phones, it's Brian next on the program with us. Brian, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Really good win for the Miners. Like y'all mentioned, the Dawn was rocking. It's my first game of this season, and oh my God, it was crazy, especially after the Ahmad Bynum three-pointer and the Derek Hamilton dunk. But overall, good stuff from the Miners. There's a lot of good playmakers on the rotation that you have, and either one of them can make an impact any moment, which is what I love about this roster so much. And it's against an opponent that's part of the three-game gauntlet that we need to do. We beat La Tech, we beat Samuelson State. Now the final one is against New Mexico State on Saturday, January 11th. And for listeners, make sure you pack out the Dawn because that game is going to be rocking. Other than that, really good game from the Miners. And the funniest thing was seeing the meltdown by Samuelson State burners on Twitter today.
Yeah. Hey, that's another thing. That's a good point. You know, good stuff there, Brian. Appreciate your phone call. Glad you got a chance to finally make it out to the Don Haskins Center. But, Sal, we know this.
Yeah.
Conference USA days are numbered. There are not a lot left for UTEP in this terrible league. But the one positive thing that I do like about Conference USA is this weird rivalry that's on Twitter between UTEP fans and Sam Houston fans. And, it got a chance to bring its head up today, and UTEP fans got a chance to dunk on all the Bearcat fans tonight.
Yeah, and it's been like that, you know, since last season. And if we throw away tradition and we throw away, you know, history beyond these last 2 years, if you're just watching this league for the first time, you would say, hey, these guys really hate each other. That's their number one rival, right? No, we know it's New Mexico State, but Sam Houston Twitter is on another level. You know, kind of reminds me a little bit of like UTSA Twitter in that sense, just a smaller budget UTSA Twitter account. So
I'll say this.
I love it though, man. It's cool.
I'll say this, Zay. I don't think UTEP ever got the beef they wanted against UTSA that they have right now against Sam Houston on Twitter and X.
You know, I'll say this. I think when UTEP and UTSA were kind of beefing, I mean, half of these burners didn't exist. Like, the good
True.
UTEP burners that actually provide good content, like, they were not on X. And if they were, they weren't pumping out anything. So I guess we'll really never know. That is really a rivalry that really just never blossomed due to burners not being on Twitter for UTEP.
Yeah, now we have a lot of savage burners on Twitter and X. UTEP News, big shout out to him. And there's other ones. There's some positive ones. There's some, you know, nicer ones like Chi-Town Miner, Leo_Miner fans. But there's also some savage ones like UTEP News. So let's keep it moving. Ruben is next up with us. Then it's Milkman, 915-505-6009 on the program. Ruben, good evening. What's happening?
Welcome back, Adrian.
I appreciate it, Ruben. What's going on? What did you think of tonight's game?
I thought the Miners in the last two games have really played some serious and solid basketball. It's really a good feeling to see a UTEP team stay through an entire game and just keep it going and not really give it up the way they have in the past.
Are you buying in?
That's awesome. Let's see what happens Saturday, and I'll tell you what my shopping cart says.
That's good. That's good nice. Stuff. I like it. I like it.
Yeah. But, hey, listen, I know you guys talked about it because I heard the guys talking about it on Thursday as well about the ticket situation. I just want to say two things about the tickets. I heard your comment about or somebody's comment on the season ticket holders, how a lot of them, I guess, didn't renew. To that, I would say, wouldn't you rather have 12,000 fans at $10 each than 6,000 at $45? I mean, you know, if you start to add it up, I think the first way is going to give you some more money. Not only that, I think you're going to be able to, like, pull the fans in. And, I mean, and if you don't pull them in this season so that they can renew their ticket for next season, then what are they doing? You know, I think that UTEP really needs to be involved with the fan base here. You know, we're real quick to, like, you know, get on the fans because they don't show up. Well, you know what? Every year it seems like they're getting more and more reasons not to show up. And it's not because of the team. And the thing is that in the end, the ones that suffer the most are really the team. And that's unfortunate, especially when you have a team that's looking like it does this year.
It's really well put. I really like the way that you broke this down, Ruben, because you're a fan. You go to these games. You understand it from both perspectives. The one season ticket holder will argue, well, hey, I had to pay this amount of money. Why should everybody else get to pay X when I had to pay Y? And why can't all the prices be consistent when it comes to that? Now the fans will argue, well, don't you want to pack the stadium? Don't you want more butts in the seats and all that kind of stuff? And I think both points are really valid. I don't know how you please everybody in that situation or in that scenario other than continue to do more promotions to try to get fans in the stands. I just say this, don't take this team for granted because this is a squad right here that could be something special. I mean, I think that's the excitement that's brewing with it. Alberto, we've talked about this, though, ad nauseum, and I don't want to spend too much talking about the fans and ticketing. You guys did a great job. I listened to Minor Talk on Thursday, and by the way, you guys did a great job of illustrating this, talking about ticketing, talking about the season ticket side of things. The one thing I will say about all of this right here when it comes to UTEP, and I get what Ruben was trying to get at with all of this right here, is that when you have people who are walking up and purchasing these tickets, I guess, a little bit last minute, or you don't have these people buying on a consistent basis, you have to go outside the UTEP fan base. You have to try to get some new fans out there because you heard what Ruben was saying. Well, they're, the season renewal is what it is, whatever, that kind of thing. Just find new fans. Go outside the box. And UTEP, I thought they did a great job with all the pop-out practices all off-season long, trying to engage with the community from a basketball perspective. I'll give this coaching staff and this program a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, they did a great job going out there and getting close to the community and interacting with them. And I think now it kind of falls onto the athletic program. And I think the ball's in their court to kind of come to the community and tell them, hey, we understand that as a community, we're all feeling it a little tight in our wallets right now. So what we're going to do is have this XYZ deal to get more people in here because we understand that we're all feeling it and we all want things a little cheaper. So, hey, we're going to do this. So that alone, I think that approach would really get a lot of people in your corner. And the only thing you could do is get more people to come to the games. And I think that's what the athletic program should do because I think the team has put up their part, right? They're
yes.
a great team. They play well. They play hard.
Exciting.
The athletic program has to help them out, throw them a bone, and create some excitement with some sort of deal that's going to get people in the arena.
Okay, that's it as far as us here talking tickets. We'll keep everything from Thursday's show. I think you guys, did a great job covering that on Thursday's show, and we'll keep it to hoops the rest of this show here on the program. UTEP defeats Sam Houston 81-72. I've got thoughts on players that I want to talk about, but let's go to the phones and let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Milkman is next. Milkman, what's up, man? Great to hear from you.
What's up, guys? Another excellent effort by the Miners tonight. 12-3. I'm super happy. I can't wait for that NMSU game. It's I mean, you can't ask for anything better. Both of them 2-0 in the conference, leading it. The Miners are they're doing amazing. We watched the little guy Barnes.
Yes.
Oh my God, he was skying for rebounds in the middle of those big guys. Like it was. I looked at my dad. We're like, did we just see that? Like that dude had wings tonight.
He did. He plays much bigger than his size, like Jay was saying. I wish I had his hops, man. I'm taller than him. I cannot jump even close to how high Devin Barnes can jump.
You ain't kidding. So, listen, I know you didn't want to talk tickets anymore. Everybody kind of stole my thunder. But, all right, look. So, my dad and I, you know, it's hard to purchase the wheelchair section, you know, ahead of time. So, you know, I'm going to figure out how to do that because tonight was absolutely awful. Like, last game, I was talking to the fans, you need to show up. Well, we had the most fans that we've had at any game tonight, and I'm telling you, they had on the east side, you know how they usually have the ticket window, and then on the other side, will call, where they also sell tickets? They only had will call. And that we got there at 6:30, and I got out of line with my tickets in hand at 7:30.
Oh, that's terrible, Milkman. That's so frustrating.
Ridiculous. It was unbelievable. It was absolutely unsat. Like this was not the fans tonight. And I know for a fact they lost money because there was a family in front of us that got out of line. They're like, no, we're not doing this. I don't know how many others just left. But I can tell you that when I left that line at 7:30, that line was still almost to Mesa Street. So, I mean, that absolutely has to be fixed. But I guess what I can say is I learned that I'm going to stop doing that, and I'm going to have to get them early or do something because I am absolutely not standing in that line again. That was absolutely ridiculous, and there's no excuse for it. I mean, on game night, you got to be like, wait, this is our one job. Like, this is, you know. You gotta make, and I get it. You know, people call in sick or whatever. You know, stuff happens. But man, they lost money. Like I know they lost money. Like a bunch of people probably didn't want to stand in that line. But hey, all I can say is to the rest of the fans, please get your tickets early for New Mexico State. I know I will. I am not making that same mistake again. And to anybody that can do something about it, please don't let that situation happen again. Because you are gonna have fans. They just decide, hey, you know what? We can go to the game. So let's go tonight. Let's go get tickets. And if they got to stand in line like that, you're going to lose fans. So I don't know. Like I said, I know you didn't want to talk about tickets anymore, but man, that was, holy cow, that was the worst I've seen. The absolute worst I've seen.
Well, and I appreciate it, though, Milkman. I appreciate you giving your thoughts. You know, I just don't want to – I think we've talked about it amongst ourselves, but to all our listeners out there who have similar issues or stuff like that, we'd like to hear those, and we'd like to say those. To you and your dad, I feel terrible. I mean, come on. If for the wheelchair tickets and for those to be hard to access, that one, you know – That one to me is frustrating, even though it's one of those things that we talked about Thursday and we're talking about here tonight. I know that next time you're going to plan ahead, but for somebody like we just talked about, like a brand new fan, somebody who's never been to a UTEP game before, and they're bringing their family or they're coming out with somebody who's in a wheelchair or something like that, and it's a difficult situation or it's hard to actually get tickets, I don't like that right there. I think those things can definitely change here soon enough, and that's why we do things like this on Minor Talk, because sometimes we're able to talk, influence the powers that be, and maybe make a little bit of a change here in the near future. But I don't necessarily think this will be a big issue moving forward, but we'll see here for when it comes to ticketing. But let's move on. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, 600 ESPN El Paso.com. I want to get to a segment that I talked to you guys ahead of time about, and that is, who is your favorite player who has made a significant jump from last year to this year? Who has been the most improved player on this team on an individual basis? Okay, doesn't mean they necessarily played here before last year, but they've just made a nice jump from last year to this year. Okay, I'm going to talk about a couple players, and if you guys want to chime in with any thoughts about these guys, just feel free. I'll keep everybody's mics hot, and you could just jump in right here whenever you all please, okay? So let's start off. The first one that I want to talk about is Otis Frazier III. Last year, 11 points a game. He averaged 4 rebounds, 2 steals. He had 70 total steals last year, by the way. It's just awesome stuff there for Otis Frazier III. Last year, he was named All-Conference USA Defense, and only honorable mention in Conference USA, which I find absolutely ridiculous. Now he's 23 years old. He's averaging his career best 14 points, his career best 5.0 rebounds, his career best 3.1 assists, and he's also averaging 2 steals a game. Guys, this guy back in George Mason, I'm talking about Otis Frazier III, his first 2 seasons of playing college ball, he averaged 2 points a game in 8.0 minutes a game for George Mason his first 2 seasons. I understand. He's a freshman sophomore. He's just learning the game and just kind of getting used to it and all. But how could George Mason miss on a guy like this? I mean, the Mount Zion product. There's been Mount Zion guys who've really hit. Devin Barnes, who we're going to talk about next. Elijah Jones, he's a solid guy. But, you know, Brian Spriggs, assistant coach for UTEP basketball, to get Otis Frazier III on this team and to actually see this development project pan out the way it's had, he is one of the best players in Conference USA. He showed it against La Tech right there. I mean, against the CUSA preseason player of the year, against Daniel Baccio. I get it. They're not playing the same position. But Otis Frazier III will never get the flowers he really deserves at the highest levels. And he's not supposed to be like the leading scorer. He's not supposed to average a ton of points a game. He's just impacts the game wherever he can, filling up the stat sheet wherever he can. And he's playing the best basketball he's ever played in his career right now. I've just really, really been impressed by the growth and the progression from Otis Frazier III. Zay, comments on Otis, just year-to-year jump, year-to-year growth, and it's crazy to think he was snubbed for a CUSA all-conference honor.
Yeah, that was disappointing last year that he didn't get, you know, the all-conference honor that he rightfully deserved. But, I mean, he's on a mission this year, right? He's just really stepped up, both on and off the court, right? He looks more of a leader. He, you know, he just does a lot for this basketball team. And, you know, his first year here at UTEP, I mean, didn't expect much from him, right? Just looking at the George Mason stats, like you said, he was not much of a contributor on that team, but he came in right away. He made a difference, and, you know, he struggled with injuries his first year. I remember that, and he kind of got into the groove of things, you know, last year, and now you're seeing, you know, him really at his full max potential. That's what it feels like, right? He feels like he's getting better every game. He is probably the best two-way player in Conference USA. He can shoot the ball way better now. He's just really improved. He is a 3-year player here at UTEP. It's not, you know, common here.
True.
in college basketball. So he's really just come up big in taking leaps year by year. His improvement.
Yeah, his improvement is evident year by year. And as far as you're right on the shooting numbers, he's actually shooting 30% from beyond the arc this year. That's his best in his career. He's shooting 54% from the field from two-point attempts, but he's taking more mid-range attempts. Last year, he had a better two-point percentage at 57%. This year at 54%. I'd say that number probably evens out and probably improves when it's all said and done, and he probably shoots closer to 58% from two-point shots you know, by the end of the season. And then for tonight, Otis Frazier III, he finishes with 10 points, not his best night whatsoever, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals in this game. But what I love about Frazier is he finds other ways to be involved. Like, he kind of found early in this game it wasn't going to be necessarily a huge scoring night for him, so he found other ways to impact the game. He was getting other players involved. And the assist numbers growing this year and getting to 3.1 overall per game, that's what I love the most about Frazier's growth. So I've loved him, his progression, the way that he's the leading scorer on this team, and year from last year to this year, his improvement is evident. We'll get to a couple other players. I want to talk Barnes, I want to talk Camper, and I want to talk Bynum, and then we'll all pick our favorite players, you know, as far as most improved from last year to this year, on an individual perspective here in just a little bit. But back to the phone lines we go. 915-505-6000 609. That's our telephone number. By the way, 600 ESPN, El Paso on Twitter next. We got a lot of posts to get to here on the program, and I'm not missing those. We'll get to those here later on as we continue. But let's go to Ruben. He is joining us next here on the show. Ruben, good evening. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm just coming back from the game. Lost my voice. Better crowd than we've had. Looked half full. But me and my brother have been watching the UTEP Miners football and basketball since like the late 70s. And this basketball team is special. These are players we're going to remember for a long, long time. These are players where some of them are going to go into the NBA. This is a very special year, and I want to just encourage everybody to get out there. This is the time. We need to pounce on it now. NMSU, UTEP, it's like almost we're going for first place in Conference USA. Tonight I saw Jim Center, our athletic director, sitting up front in orange slacks. So animated. That guy has created a winning combination. I saw Scotty Walden walking in through the tunnel with a mom and what looked like a recruit.
It was.
Somebody trying to get to come to UTEP. And he walked them all the way up into the center of Don Haskins Center, found them their seat, sat with them there a while, talking to mom, talking to the student, the prospective star maybe in football. This is a up-and-coming time for UTEP, and I just want to get everybody excited. I saw some stuff that was just amazing tonight.
You know, there was a lot of good stuff, and I'm glad that you pointed out all the outside stuff, Ruben, which sometimes we miss on this show. We see it at, you know, from afar, and we just don't get to talk about it, but I'm happy you mentioned that. Yeah, Jim Center looked great tonight in the orange slacks. I saw Walden with the recruit tonight. Didn't know who it was. I asked a couple people if they knew who it was. Didn't know who it was necessarily. We got some good pictures of this set of recruit as well, but we're not too sure. We're going to need some facial recognition here in the future, as far as all these kind of recruits go. But nonetheless, that was some good stuff. And as far as all the right things and kind of maybe a little perfect storm of what UTEP athletics is seeing right now, Sal, bring you in on this. It's to be expected. It's long overdue. There needs to be hype, but also substance when it comes to winning. And it's also comes at the point where UTEP is leaving CUSA for a better conference in the Mountain West.
Yeah. And for the time being, right, the thing is going to be continue to win if you're the Miners. Because by the time you get to the Mountain West, that news isn't sexy anymore.
Exactly.
What team are you going to be going into it? And this is exactly what you want if you're a program at UTEP. Or if you're UTEP in general, you want a program to be thriving. They have that right now in volleyball, basketball. You know, as it stands now, if we end the season today, they're a top Conference USA. And, you know, everything's looking good. So you want to continue this momentum, but a lot can happen in a year, let alone an offseason too. So we got to see how creative they can be, not just with winning games. What else can they do to make UTEP relevant, but keep them relevant as well? Get to the top, but how can you stay there?
Yeah, and it's not like, hey, can you lead CUSA in attendance? Can you match Mountain West attendance numbers that'll get you to transition nicely over there?
And also, too, I understand that UTEP's been number one in attendance, but let's be real. Conference USA Athletics is it's been terrible when it comes to attendance. And this is with all due respect. But
that's
it's
a
like,
low bar.
It's like being the smartest kid in the dumbest class. You know what I mean? And I'm not, you know, correlating it, you know, directly to a school, but just attendance wise, man, it's not that hard to do. So if they keep winning, though, then that number can be real and actually mean something.
Yeah, I'm with you on that completely, Sal. Now I'm at 5505-6009. Roman is next up with us. Then it's George. Roman, good evening. What's going on? Roman, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was on mute.
No worries. Roman, what'd you think of tonight's game?
Oh, no, it was good. I mean, I wanted to go watch the game, but, like, yeah, won't go there.
We
watched it on ESPN Plus streaming. Great game. They played just as hard as they played against La Tech. So I think that it was a great game. To your point, I think you were mentioning, you know, player of the game, the most improved. I think that you didn't mention him, but I think Kalu has played, you know, stepped up his game a lot. I think that last year he had a really bad habit of getting inside and getting the ball, but putting the ball down on the floor, which would allow the defense to swipe and get that ball out. But I think he's doing a way better job now. He's got a great hook shot. So I think that he's probably right now, like, on my list of, like, the most improved
player,
which is big for UTEP, team that needs a big guy underneath. Hamilton did great also, but I think Kalu would take that trophy.
That's interesting. That's good stuff. Any other thoughts here before we let you go, Roman?
No, that's it. Go Miners. We'll see him on New Mexico State.
All right, Roman. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for weighing in on that. Oh, man. The Kalu conversation. I'll give you the stats, Sal. Last year, he averaged 3 points a game. He started in 31 of 34 games for the Miners last year, played 16 points for the squad. He shot 58% from the field, and he averaged 4.5 rebounds a game last year. This year, his points are up 6.5. That's the best of his career. He has started every game for the Miners. He's playing the most minutes a game he's ever played at UTEP, 21 minutes per game. He's shooting 65% from the floor. That's the best he's ever shot from the floor. Also, on the rebounding side of things, best rebounding numbers he's ever put. 5.4 is his average right now as it stands. Sal, is this the best Kevin Kalu we've ever seen?
Yeah, of course. This definitely is, because for the first time in maybe, his career, I don't know if you guys would agree with me, but he's reliable on the floor. You can rely on him to not mess up much. I mean, before, it might be out of position, getting there late and having to foul. And we've seen some instances this year. I'm not going to say that hasn't been there, but you have trust in Kalu when he's out there on the floor to have a positive impact, whether it be on defense or on offense. I mean, I can say that with absolute confidence.
It's true. I mean, it's actually like, if you end up choosing Kalu for your best and most improved from last year to this year, you have an argument. Now, Zay, give me the counter argument to this one right here, suggesting that he isn't necessarily the best or most improved player on this UTEP basketball team.
I think the most simplest argument is, Derek Hamilton is still outshining him at times. He's more of an offensive threat. When Derek Hamilton is on the floor, I'm expecting him to score more than Kevin Kalu, and he does that, most of the time. And there are times that Kevin Kalu, he's really, really respected as a defensive guy, especially on those, blitzing the screens. But there were a couple of times where he messed up, and it led to wide-open dunks, right? So I think Kevin Kalu is playing his best basketball. And I hate to be like the devil's advocate, but I don't know. The Kevin Kalu thing, he's really, really improved. I at first I disagreed with it, but the more I hear Sal's argument, and I feel like everybody else's argument as well, the more I see that, yeah, he could probably be the most improved player on this team so far.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. He's definitely a candidate. He falls in this list right here. When you really look at it, improvements are across the board for this squad, which is a good thing. You're really seeing that year-to-year growth. And can I also say this? The improvement is shown with the bigs, like Kalu,
yeah,
Hamilton, and even Elijah Jones. UTEP lost Jeremy Cox in the offseason. I was worried about the bigs in the offseason when they lost Jeremy Cox. And now, with Mike Rhodes stepping in as the associate head coach for the squad, things have kind of worked out, Sal. And I didn't think it would necessarily be this easily for UTEP to replace Coach Cox. But I think it worked out.
I also think, too, it's even though he's not here, some of the stuff that they've learned under Coach Cox as well. These guys are a lot more seasoned.
True.
What I mean? There's growth on their end. But, sometimes you let go to see how far that they can fly, right? And, hey, we're seeing it this year. But this is a more respected and a veteran bigs group. I mean, especially if we include Kalu and Hamilton. I know with Jones, he's a little bit on the younger end. But, it's there. And you could tell that they've learned a lot from the things that they've done wrong. They still do them at times. But, they're in position for a lot of these defensive runs that they have. And the impressive part is I feel like they're more aggressive this year as a general unit than they were last year, and they're still more disciplined in that regard.
Let's go back to the phones. It's George next, 915-505-6009. I think I broke Zay's brain with that one right there, talking about Jeremy Cox and Mike Rhodes. George is next with us. George, good evening. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, what's up, Adrian? It was great just bumping to you.
Yes.
Before the game, that was awesome.
It's good to see you, man. Happy New Year to you and the fam.
Yeah. Well, to get to the 1 point, I know you don't want to talk about tickets, but just to let you know, I already bought tickets for next week.
There you go. You're a pre-planner. You're a planning guy.
Yeah, I already have I already have my season ticket, but I bought my wife's and a friend of ours that's wanting to go. But just to rebuttal, I think for me, the best improved player, definitely without a doubt, is Kalu. But right behind him is Hamilton, and I think Elijah Jones has come into his own. I think he's really embraced his role off the bench. But you know what? The luxury that we have this year that we didn't have last year is a three-point shooter. I think Barnes, sometimes it's Barnes, sometimes it's somebody else that steps up. But either way, I think this team is very unselfish. I think they play well together. Their chemistry is unbelievable. You can tell when Otis is off the court because the leadership isn't there as much. I think that, in a sense, is one of the big things that Otis brings to the table. Not to say Kalu doesn't as well, but I think when Otis is in there, you can see more tenacity in the defense. And he is a special player. I mean, he just does it on both ends of the court. And when he's not on, he'll dish it out to the bigs inside and dish it assist to the outside. I mean, I think his game has really stepped up. Not to say Kalu hasn't. From his first year seeing him play, I think overall this team is just, I give it a B+.
Okay, man, I like it. And I think they're on the right track, right? Like, there's still room for improvement, which could go with that B+ average that you threw out there, or that grade that you threw out there, B+ grade. But they also have room for improvement. I think that's the bright spot about this basketball squad. So good call, George. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for weighing in. He likes Kalu as one of his favorites, and he throws some of the other bigs in there as well, as far as Hamilton and Jones for best growth year to year. All right, I'm going to give you guys a couple other names that we haven't talked about yet. Devin Barnes last year, Tarleton State, 13 points a game, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 43% shooting, 39% from 3-point range. This year, his field goal attempts go down. Last year, he averaged 9 field goal attempts. This year, he's averaging 7 field goal attempts. Yet, his scoring is still there. He's averaging over double figures, 10 points a game, so that's a little lower than last year. 2 assists a game, right on par, and then he's averaging 1.8 steals a game, something he's never done in his career. What he has done in his career is hit 39% from beyond the arc. He did it last year, and he's averaging at that this year. So Devin Barnes from last year at Tarleton State going into this year in El Paso at UTEP, Sal. You know, what I'll say about him is he didn't need to be the number one guy, or he doesn't need to be the number one guy. And I like how he can take a kind of backseat or a selfless role in some games and then be the alpha like he was tonight and be the best overall player.
And in doing that this year, obviously we know that there's been less minutes on average that he's played, but when his number's called, he's usually there. And this is coming from a guy who was that dude, a lot of times when it came to Tarleton. But what I love about his game is coming into this season for Barnes, he's still shooting that same high clip. It's basically 40%. Last year, if we're going to be technical and accurate, 39.7, but rounded off, it's 40, and he's doing the exact same thing this year. The only thing he's doing differently, which I think is not going to last long, and that's going to be him hitting his free throws. He's been poor this year from the free throw line, basically 70%, but last year basically 86% guy. So if he knocks down, 2 more of those free throws, hey, that points per game is gonna be bigger. And also too, when these the margin for error, it becomes a lot smaller in these tight games, his free throws could be that big difference. So, man, I love it. It's not even there yet. Like, the ceiling hasn't even been reached, but you've seen a lot of what he could do.
Okay, so I'm a big fan of Barnes. His year-to-year growth might not be evident right off the bat based on the numbers I just threw out there. I think what I was trying to get at, my point is for Barnes is, his growth is evident for the type of player he's become. Like, he accepts a role that is better than the role he was playing last year at Tarleton State, and they're winning. Like, they're winning here at UTEP. So they were winning at Tarleton State last year, albeit, but this year he's not necessarily the number one guy. He can be the number one guy when needed, but yeah, I like his role on this team. Here's one of my favorites in this conversation right here. We're talking about most improved from last year to this year. Corey Camper Jr., 2023, he averaged 8 points a game, 2 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 1.3 steals on 31% shooting from three-point range. This year, that number, that percentage right there from three-point land is up to 36% from three-point range. He's 41% from the field. He is averaging 12 points a game. 3.5 rebounds, and that's a legit 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Those are all career bests, and then 2.6 steals per game. Wow, what a jump for Corey. Thoughts on Corey, guys? Anybody who wants to jump in on Corey?
Yeah, you know, Corey Camper, he's really, really taking a jump, and I feel like I kind of forgot about him just because he's so consistent, you know, and every time you look at the box score, the first thing I notice about Corey Camper is he basically plays, like, the whole game.
Yeah,
he'll get, like, two minutes of rest.
He's the Tay Hardy of this team.
Yeah, you know, he is out there putting his body on the line, one of the best defenders. He doesn't get credit for it. He probably doesn't get as much steals as everybody else, but he, like, on-ball perimeter defense, he, like, is on par with Otis Frazier. He might even be better. You know, that's he's usually on their best players. So, Corey Camper, he's really, really taken a big step up. He's a really, really smooth scorer. And we saw spurts of that last year, but now it feels like it's almost every game, right? And he's really bounced back. He had a rough couple of, you know, past couple of games going into conference play. He looks much better now. And, yeah, he might be mine, honestly.
Sal, he's your player in our fantasy basketball league. And there's a reason you picked him number two overall.
Yeah, the main reason is he's on the floor a lot, which lets me know he's reliable. It's number one. But two, if he's out there, Coach Golding has a lot of faith in him to be on the floor. And we've seen the impact he could have on defense. But offensively, man, he's just he's taking that jump. He's on the floor a lot more this year than last year. Obviously, if we do the numbers, he's on the floor by 4 more minutes. But, I mean, this is a guy, you mentioned it, 3.5 rebounds, legit rebounds, physical rebounds. But one of my favorite stats is the steals. And I started laughing back here when Zay was saying, hey, Otis Frazier's probably the best defender. No, it may be Camper, and I'm thinking, what kind of hell is it for somebody who has the ball where they're being manned up by Frazier, and then somehow, some way, there's a switch, and all right, cool, now you get Corey Camper. Like, that's tough on you.
And then there's David Terrell Jr. over there.
Exactly. Everybody's just flying around, but he's averaging 2.6 steals, and that's an exact double of last year, and it's 2.6 steals, which I love how Zay said it's kind of on the low end, and this is a defense who's just eating everybody. So I love it, man. This is a really, really good jump, and I love that he's on my team too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his abilities have been definitely on display for this squad. The other one that I want to talk about, and this is kind of a curveball about improvement from last year to this year, is Ahmad Bynum, okay? Trinity Valley last year at the junior college level, Ahmad Bynum averaged 18 points a game. 18 points! I mean, he's scoring a lot of points. 4.4 rebounds, 2.1 assists. For somebody like him to say, all right, I'm cool coming off the bench. Like, I get it. Like, I need it. I'm going to come off the bench right now. I haven't played Division I basketball since 2023 at DePaul, which really didn't count for Ahmad Bynum. That was 2 seasons ago for him, and he didn't really play that much. For him to take a role this year where he's averaging 10 points a game, 1.8 rebounds, he's active on defense, and then here we go. Here's a big number right here that everybody loves. 55% from three-point range. He's top five in the country for his three-point percentage right now, and Ahmad Bynum has been a mainstay from beyond the arc all season for the Miners this year off the bench. So Ahmad Bynum is another player I would throw in the mix for somebody who accepts a role. Again, accepts accepts a role, understands that there's a bigger picture on this team or there's something bigger down the line for this squad, and then realizing what he could do. I don't know if you can necessarily say that's an improvement from last year to this year, but I'll count it as one, knowing that, you know, Alberto, he can hit from beyond the arc like no one can really across the NCAA. Like, he's the best shooter in Conference USA, bar none. And when he misses buckets at this point, I'm starting to get surprised. Like, every time he goes up and attempts a three, I'm just counting it as a bucket.
Yeah, he's one of the best shooters in the NCAA, like you said, especially from beyond the three. And he can have an off night, and the minors are okay, right? We saw that last game. So that's what I think is the best part about Ahmad Bynum, and you kind of touched on it, is the minors don't necessarily need him to come out and hit three threes every day. And when he doesn't, it's okay. The minors have other guys who can take care of business, and he's all right, and he can go off when he needs to, when he can.
You know, I'll say this. I think that it's as far as other candidates, somebody, we have already talked about Kalu. He should be mentioned in this one right here. For Derek Hamilton, what a night he had tonight. He might not be as efficient as he was last year, but it's because his role has expanded. He's playing more minutes right now. And Derek Hamilton, you know, last year, he shot 64% from two-point shots. That's insane. This year, he's shooting 58%. So he's still hitting him at a high clip. And I like this one right here. So far, against Tier A and B teams, he's 4 for 8, so he's hitting 50% of his shots against higher quality teams per KenPom. And, you know, I like Derek Hamilton's usage when he's on the floor out there as well. So year-to-year comparison from last year to this year, I could see it from Derek Hamilton having that kind of success, you know, on this squad as far as his development. For David Terrell Jr., you could say he's also improved in certain areas. Three-point making, he's at 40% this year. He's also at 51% in his, his field goal attempts this year. True shooting numbers are up. He's at 55% in true shooting. His assist to turnover ratio is much improved from last year as well. His steal rate is a little down from last year, but again, it's because everybody on this team is getting steals on the squad. So for David Terrell Jr., there's numbers. The advanced analytics will indicate that he is a much improved player from last year to this year, and conference alone, or, you know, in this stretch recently, since basically they went to the Ball Dogs Classic, David Terrell Jr. has really turned it up for this basketball squad. So, guys, let's go around the table. Let's go around the room, and let's talk about our favorite players and their growth from last year to this year. If you had to pick one individual, we'll start with you, George. If you had to pick one individual that you liked their growth from last year going into this year, and we had some good options. There's some good candidates out there. Who are you going with and why?
Yeah, I'm going with Corey Kemper. It's not just the stuffing the stat sheets, right, with points. I mean, today, 16, right? A little bit off from the three, but great otherwise. It's the minutes, and it's the ability to run the offense and how much he creates with his action inside, knifing, I mean, finding lanes, driving, kicking, cutting. Like, he is just so active on both sides of the court. And I think that that's a big leap that he took from last year, where he turned up towards the end of the season and then showed up with this new game where now he's a threat offensively. And you could still see he's playing within an offense, right? He's,
man,
like, he's the potential to go off for 20 points, I think, is there. But I think he's playing within that offense, and it's not happening quite yet, but that's what I see with him.
Sal, it's such a great pick. I mean, you, out of the gate, it's Corey Kemper is most improved, best player, most improved from last year to this year. Are you going the same pick right here?
You know what? It's hard. No, I think I'll stick with Kalu. And I'll say this. It's tough to choose. I understand.
Yeah, it's a good list.
It's just like UTEP has a reliable set of bigs, or they've been reliable these last couple of weeks, and we've said, what is it going to take? And that's just better play from the bigs. Now, the biggest knock on it could be like, well, how come they don't rebound more? And I get it, but I've been far more at peace, and I hope to, you know, lead you guys to the promised land with this saying here, but like, just get it out of your head that they're going to out rebound teams every night, because they want to run and they want to be physical in transition. So once I said that and believed it, started to achieve it. So, nah, give me Kalu on this one, but Camper a close second, man. But both of them on the floor, that's what you want.
Okay, Alberto, where are we going with you on this one right here? Most improved or your favorite improved season, individual season from last year going into this year?
To me, it's going to be Derek Hamilton. I know you kind of touched on it, and I mean, statistically, nothing jumps off the page from last year, from the statistical average to this year, but the thing that kind of I want to highlight and what I want to talk about is I don't think the Miners have played the wheels off of Derek Hamilton.
No.
I don't think they have. And he's played 16 minutes. He's played 13 minutes. Today he played 12. So that's kind of what I hang my hat on. I think that if the Miners ever get bigs into trouble and Derek Hamilton's available, he can go 15 plus if you really need to. And that's what I want to hang my hat on. He creates a lot of trouble under the basket. He was perfect today from the field, 4 for 4.
Yeah.
So you got to love that. I love what he did today. And I think that stuff like that going down the stretch is going to be huge.
And he's averaging more minutes. So, like, the 4.4 points to me, you know, isn't a huge deal. Last year, he's right around 5. It's not a huge deal to me because he's only averaging, you know, under the 10 minutes. So, I'm cool with that one. I like the pick. All right, Zay, where are you going with this one? This is a tough one right here. I don't know where I'm going yet.
Yeah, you know, I can go plenty of different ways. I think Kyle Lou was a good pick. Camper was a really, really good pick. I like both of those. But just for the sake of being different, I'll go with Otis Frazier. You know, Otis Frazier's third. He's really, really jumped off, you know, the page for me. Last year it was Tay Hardy and Zid Powell. Those two were kind of, you know, the go-to scorers, right? You need a bucket, you're going to turn to those guys. Kind of the leaders as well.
Yeah.
This year, you know, it was expected to be Otis Frazier, and it has been Otis Frazier, right? He is one of the best scorers on this team. He gets to the basket with ease. He, like you said, he has a new playmaking ability that it's really, really come off the page really well. I think he had 5 assists today.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out here distributing
active.
The ball. Of course, everybody knows about his defensive prowess, how good he is on that side of the floor. So it's got to be Otis Frazier to me. You know, we kind of expected him to take this type of jump, but for it to actually happen, you know, it's a big thing. And I'm really, really happy to see a guy like that. I mean, he's been here 3 years. You know, I said that before, but it's so rare to see a guy stay here the whole 3 years, go through the development process, and now it's really, really paying off for both him and UTEP. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Otis Frazier for my pick.
I think there's a lot of great picks right there. I'm going to stick with Corey Camper just to stick with him. I just love his growth from a JUCO player to last year, just under 10 a game, and then this year, 12 a game. He could end up being UTEP's leading scorer when it's all said and done. I think all of them are good options. Frazier's jump has been tremendous. He should be all-conference first team all-conference, no question about it. Corey Camper is playing his way to where if he doesn't make all-conference, there's going to be some serious snubbing. And then speaking of snubbing, are you really going to go out there and snub Devin Barnes? Are you really going to go out there and not include Ahmad Bynum if he ends up averaging double figures in an all-conference list? So Miners have 4 guys right now who are averaging in double digits, and that's a positive thing. I mean, there's a lot of positives to talk about and take away from this group. I like what George was saying earlier on a call, saying, hey, there's still, you know, maybe rooms for improvement, saying a B+ is his grade for them, because there is. I mean, UTEP can still be better offensively. They could still start games better, close games better, you know, not necessarily ease up on the gas pedal. But as far as a stretch of play and having this kind of consistent sturdy of play, I don't know if I remember a stretch for Joe Golden coach team under, you know, for UTEP basketball having as much success as they did. Maybe that first year where they surged right at the end and they beat North Texas, it all kind of culminated into that big win against North Texas. Maybe even last year, you know, where they go on the road to Jacksonville State, they beat them on the road, then they come home, beat Liberty, and go on the run, which they end up going to the Conference USA tournament championship. But to do it the way they're doing it now, Sal, dominating opponents right now, the Yale win, which was close, but coming back home and just destroying La Tech the way they did, the way they're playing right now is really positive.
You know what? You just said something that popped a big idea in my head. And I was thinking about this, Adrian. You just said how Golden got on this great stretch with the UTEP team near the end of the year. It's not the first time, if we're talking about last year, we can even go back to his first year with the veteran group this year, a solid veteran group. Who's to say that they don't have another solid run near the end of the regular season? I mean, the pieces of the puzzle are there if we're just going off of seasoned players under Joel Golding at UTEP. Obviously, we know what he did over there at ACU, but just here, in minor land, the pieces are there for them to make a run. I know it's a little bit early to talk about that, but I mean, hey, why not? Look at who this team has and what the results have shown previously under this type of team.
I feel confident. I feel like I'm ready to start buying all into this group. Zay, how close are you into buying completely all in on this group?
I'm really close. You know, when you have those stretches where, you know, Ahmad Bynum's hitting a three and there's a steal and fast break dunk and all of a sudden UTEP's up by like 15 points, you're like, man, this might be the greatest team ever. Like, they could take down the Showtime Lakers. You know, they can beat the 73-9, like, you know,
Warriors.
You know, like, nobody can beat this team, right? So I almost want to be all in. And, you know, you talked about it. They've had the good starts to seasons before, right? They've had good non-conference. They've had the strong finishes last year and then the first Joe Golden year, but they've never really put it together in the middle of the season. They're really never playing meaningful basketball in January, in February, early February, right? They always struggle come around this time. So if they could beat New Mexico State and if they can just win a couple of conference road games, I mean, like, the pieces are there, like you guys said, right? The path for them to be a contender in Conference USA, if they're not already one, is right there, and it's worth taking. So not all the way all in yet, but I see where I could be.
There's a path. The road to success and the road to this CUSA title is there, Sal.
I have a question for you guys, and maybe two questions, but number one is, at some point this year, will the question come up of who's the better team, Golding's first season team or this season team? That's question one.
Okay.
Question two.
Wait,
let
me answer that one real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this. That question has come up, I believe. I think it can come up. It will continue to come up, and I will defend this team over that first team. Talent-wise,
right,
it's not close. That first-year team is much more talented than this year's team. But the way this team plays, I'd take this team over that first-year team of Golding.
I don't even have to ask the second one. It was going to be, is it too early to ask that question? But there it is.
It's not, because, you know, I knew who that first-year team was after the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational, and they lost to Bradley in that one, and, you know, that was a really good Bradley team, so I'm not knocking that first-year Joe Golding team for that loss. I think they were great in non-conference, or solid, I should say, in non-conference, but if you remember, that year's team did not necessarily peak until they had a nice road stretch themselves in conference play. I believe they beat Old Dominion in overtime on the road, and it was a big one that they had in the middle of January, and that's when the run started to go. But they were a little inconsistent up to that point, and I think up to this point, at least, the Miners have shown consistency. I think you can give this year's squad more of a benefit of the doubt than that first year's squad, because their losses this year come to Utah Valley, which is a write-off. I'm just now at this point, I'm scratching that one off and thinking that's the anomaly of the year. San Jose State, who ends up being a little bit better than we initially thought, and then Louisville. So those are the three. They're 12-3 right now when it's all said and done. I get it. You know, that first-year squad for Joe Golding's team had Sule Boom, Keontae Kennedy, Jamal Bienemy, and Titus Verhoeven, among others. But I would take this year's squad over that first-year squad. Zay, your thoughts?
I'm just, like, thinking of – I mean, those are two really good teams, right? This year's team and then, of course, that first year. Like you said, talent-wise, I think 2021, they win by a big margin. But, I mean, just as a whole team together, that's tough. You know, I'm not – I'll go with Sal's second question. It might be too early to start asking that question. Take me back to that question in February, okay? Because, like, just matching them up –
pump the brakes a little
bit. Yeah. I feel like they're both really good teams. I just need more time with this team. I need to see how real this team is. They haven't played a road conference game yet. Like, I'm going to take the chill pill here.
Sal, answer your own question here.
Yeah, I think it is too early. I wanted to stir some stuff up. No, Zay's right, man. They got to go on the road in Conference USA, and it was a clean sweep, I believe, today for home teams in Conference USA. The teams who won, you know, on the road on Thursday didn't have the same luck today, so that's going to be a tough one. But if you want to separate yourself, you got to be able to win on the road when winning at home is the norm.
Boys win at home, men win on the road. That's what they say, right? So Miners have to do it when they're away from the Don Haskins Center in conference play. I agree completely. First game is Thursday, January 6th on the road against January 16th, excuse me, on the road against Liberty. I've got that one circled. Wow. I can't wait for that game. That'll be excellent matchup. Next week is New Mexico State. We talked about it already. Miners right now, by the way, they have a defensive rating of 94.0. That is 39th in the NCAA. They're killing it on defense. No one wants to play them defensively. They're only allowing 65 points a game. That's top 50 in the country as well. Defensively, UTEP has been great under Golding, but this year they've been better than great, whatever that is. I mean, they're elite under Golding defensively. They're number two in the country right now in turnover percentage. They're number one in steals per game. What more can they do defensively to kill it? I guess just get more rebounds, right? That's the one thing that you'll say. But if you take the thought that Sal said earlier, just know you're going into it, you're going to lose the rebound in March.
Yeah.
You're going to lose it. Just have that in your mind, but go out there, try to get the turnovers to supplement that loss in the turnover margin.
Like, for example, against Louisiana Tech, they lost that battle, but
right,
it didn't look like it if you're watching the game. They were more physical. They got the clutch rebounds, and I think it was just the first half that they lost the battle. In the second half, it was an even split amongst the two teams, but yeah, just know that the numbers are not going to matter unless it's something like 40-22, okay, but I can live with them getting that rebounded somewhere in the margin of like 5-7, something like that, because that's really where it could be a big difference. But that's not who this team is. They want to be physical in transition, and also, Adrian, they're using a lot more motion on offense. You know, guys being able to get to certain spots, and a lot of that fluidity and cohesion starting to show. So yeah, man, just get out of your head.
Yeah, I like the movement that you mentioned as well. Any other thoughts, guys? Any other thoughts as far as the Miners, just, you know, where they're at right now defensively, where they're at just in terms of creating turnovers, and what we're talking about right here on the defensive rating side of things?
Yeah, for me, like, I agree with what Sal said. Like, you're going into the game, you're accepting that you're going to lose the turnover battle. You know, if you watch UTEP play, you know, the big thing with Kevin Kalu is he goes out there on the screen, he chases the screen, he blitzes the ball handler. And what that does, right, it creates, you know, you have Kevin Kalu, your biggest guy on the floor, he's like 20 feet away from the basket when, you know, a shot is usually put up, right? And that creates, you know, that more opportunity for an offensive rebound on, you know, for the other team. So you're usually going to get out-rebounded there. They like to run in transition. You supplement that with the turnovers. I'll take that, right? That 3-8 range when you're getting out-rebounded like that, like, that's not bad for UTEP. So I like where this team is at. It looks like they're finally putting it all together. Of course, you got the big test against New Mexico State. I really just can't wait for that game. It's going to be a really, really fun game.
Okay, I'm going to dish it to Alberto for women's basketball. They won earlier today against Sam Houston as well. But before we do that, could Christian Cook win CUSA Player of the Week? He had a 25-point game against Sam Houston. He had a 19-point game tonight against La Tech. Two games, he shot 50% from the field. Miners could be playing a guy in Christian Cook who could be the CUSA Player of the Week. I thought, you know, Otis Frazier III could contend for the Player of the Week after the double-double performance on Thursday. He still might. 21 points, 11 rebounds on Thursday, and then 10 points, 5 assists tonight. I mean, he still has a great resume and, you know, great example for maybe making that one as well when it's all said and done. However, I think Christian Cook, maybe resume-wise, put together the better win, I guess, or the better two-game stretch, but it should be kind of an interesting thing to see what ends up happening there. I'll swing it over to you, Alberto. Women's basketball tonight, a game winner for the squad here in this one, beating Sam Houston.
Yeah, and Ivanta Nsaya, game winner, was a phenomenal game out there. She had 17 points in the game, 14 of those coming in the second half to lift the Miners into their first conference win. And Dakin Bengue, she had 8 points, 12 rebounds. All of those 8 points and 10 of those rebounds, those came in the second half. So that was huge. And I just think that the wins for the Miners, they look sloppy at times, but you know, if you get it done, you can't hate on it. A win's a win. They go 11-3. They go on an 11-3 run in the final 5 minutes of the game to close it out. So that was commendable. So Ivana Tensaya, she led the Miners, shot 4 of 9 from the 3-point line to go for 17 points, 1 assist. And then Delma Zita, she had a really off night, had 5 turnovers today. But Portia Adams had 11 points. She was able to complement that. And also Heaven Samayoa Mathis had 7 points and 4 assists. So just a lot of different players getting action. When one player doesn't get what Keith Adams wants, she's quick to go to the bench. So I think that sometimes works against him, but today it figured itself out, 64-62.
Yeah, and good for the Miners to get a big win on the road in Conference USA. It's tough to just win in conference, period. So for them to get the big win tonight, that's huge for them. So shout out to the women's basketball squad for getting a big win tonight, or I should say earlier today against Sam Houston. Let's go to Twitter and X. We got a bunch of tweets to get to. We didn't read anything until right now. Depressed UTEP fan. Battle of I-10 has to be a sellout. Zero excuses. By the way, if you guys want to chime in, feel free anytime. UTEP Mineto, he chimes in on the program. He's talking crap to other people. He's saying he wants David Terrell Jr.'s autograph. Good stuff from Mineto. JK, these Miners are for real. Sell out the Don. Best Miner team since 2010. Let's go at Coach Joe Golding. Seemed like there were more fans than 5,774. Crowd definitely got loud. NBA Tep Boy. If Bynum fell, I would have teleported to put a cushion. Can't let my goat get hurt. I love that one right there. That's a good one. King Eric tweeting into the program. Good to hear from him. Don't get your hopes up, but this year is looking like the year. I like it. This is coming in. Okay, we got a bunch of other posts coming in. This is from Trey Politz. Devin Barnes and Ahmad Bynum are way better than Tay Hardy and Zid Powell. Mic drop. Picks up. Ooh, man. I don't know. You know, the Tay Hardy thing for me, I like Tay Hardy a lot. I'm partial to Hardy. I don't know. I mean, Hardy would fit in real well with this squad right here. Do I like both? Would I take Barnes and Bynum over Powell and you know, Hardy? I think it's too early. I'm going to just say I'll go to Sal's point from earlier today and just steal that and say it's too early.
Yeah, it is too early. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Tristan Pence, great game, great team effort by the Miners. Kalu, Hamilton, and Moore have really been playing well lately. UTEP's backcourt is one of the best in CUSA, and Frazier is a first-team all-conference player. It's still early, but the Miners look really good. Sell out the Don next week. I'm with you, Tristan. We'll see if it ends up happening, man. This is coming in from Ryan Guzman. One of the best parts of this team is the depth. Any night can be the insert player's name game. That's true. And tonight it was the Devin Barnes game. And he showed up and he played really well tonight. So good stuff there by Trey Politz for that one right there. Couple other posts to get to here on the program today. And by the way, our telephone number, 915-505-6009. If you want to duck in a late phone call here on Miner Talk, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next. Couple other posts to come in. Brian at Lovesick Brian, fantastic win by the Miners today against the Bear Kitties. I like it. The ghosts of the 2009-2010 UTEP team have struck again. And this is the most hopeful a lot of fans, including myself, have felt in years. Looking for a win over NMSU. Picks up. Hashtag PS Boohoo Burners. I love it. Miner Joe, I paid $29 for 3 seats this morning and walked in at 6:50 with no problems. Saw the line and wondered why people were standing in line. Hashtag Miner Talk. Andrew at Andrew Texas. We got to do better, y'all. Tell everyone you know the Battle of I-10 is going down next Saturday. For what it's worth, I feel that UTEP Athletics could do a better job marketing as well. Hashtag Miner Talk. Pinky, like Zay said tonight, watching the game, UTEP outside shooting, three-point and mid-range shooting has definitely improved over the year. To me, what they have been missing, turnovers down. And free throw shooting has improved. Great game, great dub. Picks up coming in from Pinky. This is coming in from Adam at Adam at Mr. SYYC. 25% increase. I think they top 5,000 or 7,000 when NMSU comes into town next week. I'd say over 7,000. I'd probably settle at like 8,000 when it's all said and done, Sal.
That's what we had talked about last week. I think we threw out the question like, hey, or on Thursday rather, was, hey, you know, let's just say it's 700 Aggie fans with 6,300 UTEP, but let's just say it's 1,000 Aggie fans and maybe, you know, 6,500 UTEP fans. I'm thinking somewhere like in that 75 range, a little bit north of that 7 now, after tonight's impressive game.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And for both teams, rather, too. I mean, that number for the Aggies could go up. And I might be under on that number the way that they're looking. So who knows?
Yeah, I'm totally behind that one right there. Guys, I think we're winding it down here on the program. We do have somebody who's chiming in a little late here on the program, which I appreciate. 915-505-6009. But I do want to turn the page, and it is New Mexico State next week for the Miners. This is a team who has won five straight going into the Don Haskins Center next week. Should be a great game. Jason Hooten versus Joe Golding. Hooten's never beat Golding here, you know, in El Paso. And in the 2 years that these teams have played, you know, it's been interesting. You know, the Miners have they've actually split the first two in the series, and the home team has won in both games so far. So we'll see if the Miners can keep that alive and win next week at the Don Haskins Center when it's all said and done. And yeah, it'll be Miners, Aggies, New Mexico State Saturday. Should be an excellent matchup. Aggies during this stretch, of course, they beat New Mexico 89-83. They lost to Texas on the road, but they beat Southern Utah, Sam Houston State, La Tech, and then two easy wins against Northern New Mexico and the University of the Southwest. So easy wins there for New Mexico State. However, two quality wins back-to-back against CUSA teams here this past week. Sam Houston State, they won Thursday, and then tonight just dominated La Tech 78-48. Back to the phones we go. It's Mike from Austin. Then we're going to wrap this show up. Mike, good evening. What's happening, man?
Adrian, Sal, and company, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Happy my New friend. Year. Good to hear from you.
So, I waited till the end of the show to listen to everybody. Everybody's got some great things to say, so I got nothing negative to say or any counterpoints to all the positivity. So what I want to know is, let's go to the flip side. What is it that what do we need to fix, shore up, in order to get to that next level?
I don't know if the rebounding will get fixed, because I think that's the easiest answer. It's easy for me to just say here, Mike, oh, you got to, like, you know, improve on the rebounding, you know, and just, and, you know, feel like that. That's one of those things. I would say maintain effort and energy throughout the whole game. I don't know how other, yeah, you know, the best way to describe that other than that, because it's basically, you watch the Miners and they're a team of runs. Sometimes they have great runs and they really shine and they distance themselves from opponents. Other times they go through scoring ruts and they can't find ways to score and stuff like that. So I would say maintaining consistency at the highest level. Is that a good answer? I don't know if that's a good answer or not.
I don't know, because we show that our defense, well, minus the rebounds, that our defense can help us win games. So, yes, we can improve on that, and that would definitely, but does that get us to the next level? What is the major thing that stands out? It used to be, for example, it used to be free throws. We would just scream and yell about how we can't make a free throw to save our life. I'm looking for something like that.
Is it a good thing that they don't have a tangible thing that they really need to improve on statistically? Like, I'm looking at all the margins right now, and it seems like they're decent to excellent in most of the categories that we're talking about here, Mike.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That's why I'm asking the question, because I think I'm missing something.
Yeah, no, I think it's solid. The rebounding margin's one of those things. Assist-to-turnover ratio is a point that you could say can improve on. But those are the numbers that you're going to like right now if you're looking at UTEP.
All right, so last question, and I'll leave you all with this, and I'll hang up and listen, is what are your early predictions for next Saturday?
Okay.
You all have a good week, guys, and I'll talk to you soon.
It's great to hear from you, Mike. Thank you so much. Sal, any thoughts on that one, the first question initially?
I think it's not necessarily a stat so to speak, but more so areas of the game. Let's just say like the final 4 minutes. I was going to say the final five, but let's short it up a bit. The final 4 minutes, if you can be solid at the end of the first half in the final 4 minutes and be solid at the end of the second half in the final 4 minutes, it would alleviate a lot of problems. Miners having a double-digit lead, and they get it down to what, somewhere around a 8 or 9 points, and it's a three-possession game after they were up by, you know, 10-plus. So if they can shore up those things and not allow these minor runs by the opponents, you know, that could be the thing that puts him on top. So that's really the biggest thing I think of.
Yeah, Lutep Miner texted me, and I appreciate him texting me this one. Winning on the road, just simply put. You know, the first-year team, we're comparing that first-year Joe Golding squad to this year's squad. That first-year Golding squad was 7-6 on the road overall. And, you know, just to show how difficult that is, the year right after that, that's the Shamar Givens here. They were 3-10 on the road. They could not win road games that year. You know, with Shamar Givens, Mario McKinney, that squad, they just struggled winning on the road that season. Then last year, you look at the road record before the CUSA tournament, it was abysmal. And before they won that Jacksonville State game, they had almost no road wins whatsoever. They finished out the year last year 2-9 on the road. This year to start off 1-2. Albeit haven't had a large sample size right there, but that was their big thing all offseason long. Be better on the road. That's why they went to the Bahamas. That's why they, you know, they had the exhibition game that they did against New Mexico and did all the things in the offseason to try to get them ready for those road games. So won't get tested until that Liberty game on the road. And then they've got FIU, who's sneaky good in CUSA right now as it starts. So those are their first two road games. And like Lutep Miner said, got to win those. I mean, those are ways. If you're asking me a question, what are ways that we're missing, like Mike just did, maybe that's an area that we could point out here on the program for the Miners. Win more games on the road this year in CUSA play. So let's see if that can end up materializing when it's all said and done. Tonight's hot hand of the game, by the way, let's talk about that, presented by Wind Supply El Paso. I think we're going to go with Derek Hamilton, guys. 4-for-4 from the field, 9 points tonight. He was just on for 14 minutes of action. He also contributed in this game with 2 steals and 3 rebounds. It was active game from Derek Hamilton, and he is our hot hand of the game. That's brought to you by our great friends out at Wind Supply El Paso. Hey, you can stay warm in El Paso this winter with Wind Supply El Paso, thanks to them. Check them out online, windsupplyelpaso.com. Check the Find a Dealer tab, and you can check out a certified dealer who could help you out with all your furnace needs at home. That's windsupplyelpaso.com. Our player of the game, it's an easy one. Thanks to the Oscar IDF agency, it's Devin Barnes, 17 points tonight, 6 of 10 from the field, but he was 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. That was what was impressive for me. 3 assists, 4 rebounds for Devin Barnes when it was all said and done, and 2 steals in this game. Devin Barnes, player of the game, that's brought to you by the Oscar Arieta Agency. A couple other posts. Joe Chacon weighs in. If UTEP can continue to put some big runs and holds opponents off, this could easily be a 20-plus win season and an at-large bid if needed. Come on, Joe. Come on, Joe.
Win the whole thing, man. That's all I could say. It's not even the at-large thing, but hey, this team is good enough to win as it stands now.
That's what I'm saying. Go out and win CUSA. Don't leave it up to the bracketologists out there. Don't rely on making the NIT win it's all. No. Go out there, get your NCAA tournament bid by winning the CUSA tournament in Huntsville, Alabama. No one cares about the regular season title. Miner Illustrated weighs in on the program. Starting to earn it next week will be 7 to 10,000 because of NMSU fans. There you go. That's one right there. A couple other thoughts to get to here on the program. I want to get to New Mexico State reactions, thoughts, and final things leading into the Battle of I-10. Guys, will go around the room, just like Mike weighed in here on the program. We'll start with you, Alberto. Thoughts going into Battle of I-10 week against New Mexico State?
I think it's going to be a close one. I don't think it's just going to be a walk in the park for the Miners because it's a home game. So, yeah, Christian Cook, Look, he scored 22 against Texas, at Texas, so I think he's going to come into the Don and absolutely cook. Hopefully the Miners have some sort of answer for him, and I'm expecting a close game. I don't know about you guys.
Sal, your thoughts, Battle of I-10.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Obviously, both teams have that rich history against each other. I think you could throw away who's hot and who's not. It's just going to come down to it being the Battle of I-10. I'll give UTEP the edge because they're at home, which is going to set things up for a really, really interesting one in Cruces. But no, the way that this defense is playing, they could do a number of things just based off of that. So give me the Miners.
George, I've got the Miners in this one, but should be an interesting one knowing it's Hooten and Golding going back at it, and both teams have split in this series of Golding and Hooten so far.
Yeah, and I think things stay the same. I agree with Alberto. It's going to be a close one. One of the things that gives me hope is that, who was it, Corey Wilkerson today, right? He came into this game averaging 19 points. UTEP ended up holding him to 14, but most of his looks were contested all game. I think he struggled to really shoot from the field. Christian Cook obviously has the ability to go off against really good teams. But that gives me hope, is that they can rein him in and at least make him have tough looks. And if he ends up scoring in volume but not efficiently, I think that's a good thing for the Miners.
Yeah, I like the way that you put that right there. Zale, I'll just throw it to you for some final thoughts on UTEP, New Mexico State. But, you know, the Battle of I-10 is a CUSA matchup for now, a home-and-home CUSA matchup for now. In the future, this could be a Mountain West home-and-home, or I should say a non-conference home-and-home, knowing that UTEP's heading to the Mountain West. Uncertainty with the New Mexico State Athletic Department now that Mario Mocha has been fired, a new regime is taking place here soon enough. But nonetheless, this is a matchup that you can't take for granted as far as a conference game goes. UTEP versus New Mexico State.
Yeah, you can't take for granted it being a conference game, it being a game at all. You know, NMSU, they don't play UNM, you know, home and home. It's only one game a year now.
Right.
So you really never know what could happen. And don't take for granted this is a competitive matchup. You know, for the first time in years, I mean, for a long while there, New Mexico State ran this rivalry. In the past couple of years, you know, they've kind of – both teams have split. You know, it hasn't been as competitive. And, you know, this year, both teams 2-0 in conference play. They're on a hot streak. It's going to be a fun game, and you know, I'm excited for it. UTEP has won 3 of the last 4 against NMSU at home, so that's a good sign. You know, they have 9 returning players, so I think Joe Golding and his staff and his team as well, they know how big of a game this is, and we'll see. It's going to be a really, really fun game. I'm really excited. Always a great atmosphere, so I'm calling my shot. 10,000, I say.
Wow.
For sure. Yeah.
Man, I like it. 10,000 from Zay. That would be an amazing attendance for UTEP and for the Don. It will be the best home crowd that UTEP will see all season long, at least up to this point. So I'm excited about that. Great environment coming up January 11th, UTEP versus New Mexico State. I got the Miners winning this one. They've got some work to do in order to make it happen, but let's see what happens when it's all said and done. Guys, I really appreciate everything earlier this week filling in for me on Thursday, but we'll be back at it next week. And that'll do it for us here on Miner Talk. For Sal Montes, for Zay Galindo, for George Guajardo, for Alberto Retta, I'm Adrian Broaddus. Thanks to Jack in the Box for bringing us Miner Talk each and every edition. If you miss any of the show, check us out on demand wherever you listen to podcasts. UTEP defeats Sam Houston 81-72. We'll be back in action next Saturday for another edition of Miner Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso.